Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you please turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1109. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Just to set the context a little bit of the reading and why we're looking at this today, is that there was the belief in Judaism that those who were blessed by God, those who prospered, in fact, were blessed because they were good people. And those who had bad things happen to them had those bad things happen to them because they were bad people. Either they were bad or the sins of their parents were visited upon them, and that's why bad things happened to them. So that's the context of Judaism that Jesus is addressing in this passage this morning. Now, it's applicable to us here today because we're continuing to talk about building up the kingdom of God, as we heard in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's about building the building, about bringing people in and building the structure of which the foundation is Jesus Christ himself. And so as we build this building, we need to be learning how to bring people into the gospel, into the kingdom of God, how to be, or I should say more accurately, be used by the Holy Spirit to lead people to Jesus Christ. Part of that means understanding the obstacles that people have, the arguments that some people will bring up and raise when we try to tell them about God and about Jesus Christ. Now, one of those arguments is when bad things happen and people say, well, how could God allow this to happen? And some people, even in a sense, I've heard this with a sense that it I suspect strikes us as extremely arrogant, but would say, if that is the kind of God that you believe in, I don't want any parts of that God. I cringe when I hear people say that. And yet it's fairly common that when something bad happens, people blame God and then say, I think many times more of as an excuse. They don't want to believe in God, and so they'll say, well, if God allows those things to happen, then I don't want any parts of that kind of a God. And so we need to address that because I believe the Bible has a response. What is our response when people raise that issue? We try to tell them about Jesus, and they say, well, then why does Jesus allow all these bad things to happen? Now, Jesus actually addresses that in this passage here because there's a couple things that happen that we'll read about, and the question is, well, did these people deserve it because they were bad people? And the response from Jesus clearly is no. No, there are reasons why things happen in this world, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's listen to this encounter that Jesus has and about bad things happening to people and why that is. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Evidently, Pilate was a very brutal man and evidently had these people killed and had their blood mixed with the blood sacrifices in the temple, which is a tremendous abomination. So Jesus is saying about these people that this happened to. Verse 2, and he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Was it because of their sin? Jesus says, no. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is the word of the Lord. And so Jesus is raising this issue, which was really a central part of the Jewish faith and belief, was that they looked at people who were prospered, people who were wealthy, And they believed that God was blessing them because they were good people and they were keeping the covenant of God. And they looked at bad people and said, well, they must be bad people because bad things happen. And Jesus is clearly saying, no, that's not the reason. You remember in another instance where there was a man born blind and they said, Lord, who sinned? Was it this person or was it his parents that sinned so that he would be blind? And Jesus said, no, it's not about, you know, sin causing that, you know, bad thing to happen. And so we need to understand and look at the whole thing of another issue I'm going to be addressing in the future is this idea of punishment. Jesus took upon himself all the punishment for sin upon the cross. Okay? Yes, God disciplines us, but God does not punish us for sin, we who believe, because Jesus took the punishment upon the cross. Okay? Now, we do reap. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We reap what we sow. But here, what Jesus is saying here with these are bad people. Is that why the tower fell on him? He's saying no. Why, was that why the person was blind? No. It was so that God could be glorified. There's reasons for this happening. And so we want to talk today about understanding what were those reasons so that when we try to talk to people about God or Jesus and they say, well, how can God allow this stuff to happen? Either he doesn't love us and doesn't care what happens to us, or maybe God isn't powerful enough to stop this stuff from happening. Those are the two objections that they raise. What is the Christian response? What is the biblical response? That's what we want to talk about so that we have a sense to be able to share with people. So this is the question that we're raising here today is why do bad things happen to good people? Now, before I get into the logical argument here, I want to stress something first. What I'm about to present is not the kind of logical argument that you share with people who are in the midst of extreme suffering and have just gone through a tremendous trial or loss. Someone's just lost a child to death or whatever, and they wonder, how can this happen? That's not the time to enter into a theological discussion. Okay, as Aubrey shared with us in communications and listening to people, the power of emotion far outweighs the power of logical thinking. And at that point, people are simply unable to receive and to process logically an argument about why God would allow these kinds of things to happen. So I think we need to be aware of the situation, where this person is that we're addressing or trying to reach, and to understand in the midst of deep emotional grieving, we don't present logical arguments, we simply present ourselves to them. We be present with them, we sit with them, we listen to them, we affirm to them that God is caring, God is loving, God is going to bless them in this. We do not understand God's ways, but we affirm the goodness of God and the blessing of God and just affirm it. If anything, it's by our very presence that we just be Christ to them in that moment rather than trying to enter into a theological discussion about why God allows these things to happen. Our prayer is that there will become a time that discussion will be made. Our prayer is also maybe for us, there comes a time now before these things happen that we can logically think in our minds so that when it does happen, we can say, oh yes, I think I have a better understanding why bad things happen in this world. So even us who believe can have the core of our faith challenged by bad things happening either to us or to people around us. Debbie and I were up the last couple of weeks. We've been up north for a family wedding. My sister, younger sister, has five children. All five are girls. I don't know how he survived it, but between my sister and five girls, and they had two dogs, and both of them were females. But he seems to survive. He's got this little nervous twitch now and then. But he seems to have survived it pretty well. But growing up and living all these years with his family, so they have these five girls, and the oldest is the one who was getting married. And so we're coming together as a family to celebrate this. And it's a great joy for the family. However, the youngest of the daughters, Meredith, 22 years old, had a lifelong friend named Alana. Grew up with Alana through grade school. Alana, just 2 weeks ago, walking across the street in Philadelphia, hit by a car. And she ended up on life support. She was due to graduate from college the very next week. Can you imagine the pain of a family, a daughter who's full of life, full of promise, full of expectations, graduating from college, her whole life ahead of her, crosses the street, is hit by a car, ends up on life support. The family agonized, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, because the family agonizingly spent 2 weeks with that decision. You know how people have praying for the miracle of God for life in this world, which did not happen. So they finally made the decision to donate Alana's heart to someone else and disconnected life support. Now, this is a week before the family's getting ready to celebrate this wedding. And this is, again, someone the whole family knew. She'd been a lifelong friend of this one sister. And so it can challenge even us of deep faith to the very core of our being. How could something like this happen? So today we want to look at, it's going to actually be more than just one sermon, because this is a big subject. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? For our sake and for those whom we minister to and give testimony to, we need to understand what is the biblical response to this question. Now, when we do get to the point with someone that they're able to think logically and enter into a logical discussion, the first thing I want to say is that we need to rephrase the question. When people say, why do bad things happen to good people? There is the inference in that I think Jesus was directly addressing himself, is we think like this Alana, a wonderful, beautiful person, and how could this happen to her? What if it had happened to someone who had been convicted of murder, you know, and they got hit by a car and ended up on life support? It's like, well, they probably deserved it. Or somebody who's bad or mean or, you know, whatever, well, they probably deserved it. I mean, isn't that part of the worldly thinking that we have? It's really exactly what Jesus was addressing in our reading from Luke. And so that we need to realize, first of all, it's not just a matter of what happens to good people, because there's a sense that God is really a horrible guy if you've got this beautiful, good person and he allows something bad to happen to them. You see, it makes God worse, meaner, more harsh than he in fact does good things to good people. The fact is, what the Bible reveals to us is no one is good. No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So from a biblical point of view, no one is more worthy of a tower falling on them or a car hitting them and putting them on life support than anyone else. The scriptures say several places God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. That's why he says, love your enemies. Okay? The parable of the wedding feast. Remember, he invited those who would come and they didn't come. And he told his servants, go out and find everybody you can. Both good and bad were welcomed into the wedding feast. So God invites and calls both the good and bad. Jesus himself ate with prostitutes and tax collectors. And he was, remember, ridiculed for that. How can you eat with sinners? Jesus says, well, these are the people I came for. You know, somebody who's well doesn't need a physician. It's somebody who's sick needs a physician. And that's why I came, to save the lost and the destitute and the sinners, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. So we need to understand the question then really is not, why do bad things happen to good people? It's really, why do bad things happen to anyone? Why do bad things happen to anyone? We need to understand next then the world that we live in. Expectations. I always grew up with our kids telling them, life is all about expectations. You know, if you're entering into a relationship or you're going somewhere, what were your expectations? When we tell them our expectations that you're going to keep your room clean, or at least marginally so, you know, their expectation is, no, it should be, you know, trash it until we see the rats come in. So expectations, life is all about it. When our expectations are met or exceeded, we're happy. When our lives are not met, right, we grumble, we you know. So expectations. And so we need to understand, what are our expectations about this world? And I think there's many people who generally think that the world should be an easy place to live in. And yet again, the Bible reveals something else. Jesus told us, in this world we will have tribulation. But he says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Okay, so what is our expectation about being in this world? This is a dangerous world. There are things that happen in this world. There are lots of bad things. As I've described before, we've come out of the bondage of Egypt, but we've not yet entered the promised land. So we're living in the wilderness. So what kinds of things happen in the wilderness? I believe this is not meant to be all-inclusive, but kind of five things that we need to look at this world and say, you know what, these things just happen. And we need to understand the world that we live in, because that will then describe for us, I think, why, in fact, bad things happen and God's part in that. The first thing is that there are accidents that happen in this world. Debbie and I were up with spent most of the time with our daughter in Herndon, Virginia, Northern Virginia, which is right near Dulles Airport. And the whole time we were there, we kept seeing all these planes flying overhead. And it's like, I'm amazed we don't think about the thousands of planes that are in the sky each and every day, not just in our country, but around the world. Think of thousands of airplanes in the sky. It's really phenomenal that there aren't more plane crashes. Because whenever there is a plane crash, it's like huge news, right? There's, you know, a plane crash and people died. And so just the fact that there are so many planes are going to crash eventually, right? Things wear out, materials wear out, a mechanic makes a mistake or whatever. So there's going to be plane crashes. There's going to be car crashes. Got so many cars on the road. You get bad weather and there's, you know, things that happen. So the accidents happen. Doctors make mistakes. Right? Doctors make mistakes. They're human. Doctors make mistakes. So accidents happen. So when we look at the bad things happening, to a certain extent, it's just the law of averages that some bad things are just going to happen. We're going to experience flat tires and a car that won't start or whatever, simply because things happen because of accidents. A second thing is that there are natural disasters. Let me read to you. People, again, I don't think realize this, but the scriptures reveal it to us, that creation, nature, is also under the curse of God. When God cursed Adam and Eve, nature also came under that curse. So nature also is fallen. Nature is not what God intended it for it to be. In the Garden of Eden, there's no record of earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes. Now, we have those, and what Paul talks about in Romans, first, he says, I consider the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's to be revealed in us. So Paul's addressing, he says, we got suffering in our time, but it doesn't compare to the glory that awaits us. He goes on to say, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation's waiting for redemption. That's what he's saying. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So creation, nature, is longing, as Paul says elsewhere, groaning for redemption as much as we are. When Jesus comes again, all of nature will also be basically redeemed, and none of these disasters happen. In the meantime, we're going to have hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. In fact, we're told in the end times it's going to increase. So people who suffer from natural disasters, floods, and so forth, it's part of this world in which we live. Okay, a third thing I think is important for us to realize is other people's sins. There are lots of ungodly, bad people in this world. Excuse me. They make bad decisions. They do things that are not of God, and those things affect us, not only in an individual level. Somebody robs our house. Somebody attacks us or violently or whatever, we're physically attacked. Or corporations that do things. Who knows what's in the food that we're eating, right? Who knows decisions that are being made at corporate levels, at government levels, at wars that go on that, yes, have an impact on us. So there are ungodly people in the world who are sinning, basically going against the will of God, and those things will affect us in our living. So bad things will happen to us simply because of the other people who are ungodly in this world. Okay, the next one I think has to do with our own sins. Our own sins. Things that we do, things that we bring consequences upon ourselves. If someone has been smoking cigarettes all their life and they get lung cancer, is that God's fault? No, it's not. If we make bad choices to go places we shouldn't do, or do things we know are not good or right, or be in relationships we not know are good or healthy for us, is it God's fault if something happens and somehow we suffer for that? No, it's not God's fault. We reap what we sow. That is a very important biblical teaching. We reap what we sow. God allows us to experience the consequences that we do. David had a horrible decision he made about going to be with Bathsheba, right? They had a child because of that. What was the effect of that? Was still that child ended up dying. Now, was that God's fault? It was David's fault. David's the one who brought that on himself. So many times we bring things upon ourselves and then we blame God for it. I hear that time and time again from people. It's decisions that we make. It's the life that we live that brings bad things upon us because of bad decisions, bad relationships. As I said, the two most important things that we make, decisions that we make and relationships that we keep. Did you hear that? Two things primarily determine our relationship with God, our happiness, our goodwill in this world, decisions that we make, and relationships that we keep. I would say particularly to young people. I wish I had learned that early on, right? Don't we all? Wish we had learned that at a younger age. Decisions we make and relationships that we keep. Otherwise, we bring these things upon us ourselves. It's not to be blamed, put the blame on God. And finally is, there's a world of evil spirits. There is a prince of this world, and his name is Satan. He was thrown down. Revelation tells us that he is at war with those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, and that would be us. So there's a spiritual war going on all around us, and are we caught up in it? Absolutely we are. There are evil spirits. They're out to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. They are strategic. They are intentional. They are relentless. And if we do not put ourselves under the protection and be aware of the blessing and the power that God has given us, we are subject to these evil spirits. I'll talk more about that next week. But just to realize now, here's this world that we're living in. There's going to be accidents. Things are going to fail. There's going to be natural disasters. There's going to be hurricanes and earthquakes and things. There's going to be sin that other people commit that are going to affect us, either corporately or at the government level. There are our own things that we do, bad decisions that we make that brings things upon ourselves. And then finally, there are these evil spirits that are out there who are seeking to destroy not only us, but to destroy our relationships as well. And so when we ask this question, why does God allow bad things to happen to people? Why is this world the way that it is? This wasn't God's plan. God's plan was the Garden of Eden. We didn't have any of this in the Garden of Eden. Well, until we saw the evil spirit, right? Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve. But the original Garden of Eden was, God saw what he made and it was good. Even the angels were all good until Satan and his followers rebelled. So this isn't part of what God set up. What we have in the world today is a result of man, a result of what Adam and Eve started. Unless we blame them, let us be aware that we too have rebelled against God and have sought the knowledge of good and evil. So we can't blame Adam and Eve. So we brought this on ourselves. This is the world we live in. It's a broken world. It's an ungodly world. It's a dangerous world. It's a world with forces out there that are out to get us. It's not about being paranoid. It's about being biblical. And so this is a great reason why so many things happen in the world. And we look and say, well, why did that happen? Yeah, we brought it upon ourselves. We brought it upon ourselves. Now, I absolutely believe that God does not want us to suffer bad things. And so he will guide us and give us ways to avoid these. He will speak to us if we're listening. I'll talk more about that next week. But I would just say another thing again. Realize what we're trying to do is be aware of people who are struggling in the world, and we're trying to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ through God. To believe in God. And so this is an obstacle that they're throwing up. And so as we're trying to counter that, to know within ourselves why these things happening within us, we need to understand that this is the world that we live in. Does God care about the world? Yes, he does. Is God going to do anything about this world? Yes, he will. In fact, he has. But it's not yet been implemented. It's not yet been consummated, as they say. And actually, there's a good reason for that. God is going to do away with all evil someday, but until then, he allows all this to happen because it is his hope and desire that just one more person would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. If we say, Lord, we want all this to pass away. We want to enter into the promised land. We don't want to spend any more time in the wilderness. Let's stop all this stuff. Get rid of all evil. But Lord, just give me one more day. I've got somebody I'm talking to, Lord, and they're right on the cusp, Lord. They're right on the edge. Just one more week, Lord, and maybe we can bring that person into the kingdom of God. Just one more week, Lord. He says, okay. And so we want it to come, yes. But on the other hand, not yet, because we want more time. There's so many people have not yet heard the truth of Jesus Christ. We're talking about eternal ramifications. Can we put up with a few more days, weeks, months, years of this stuff in the hope that more people will come? I hope that we can. As the Bible says, Jesus will come when the full number of Gentiles have been brought in. What is that number? We don't know, but God the Father knows. Until then, we live in this world. And what are our expectations? That there's stuff that happens, accidents, natural disasters, there's sins that happen by other people. Now, in a sense, when people could kind of be overwhelmed by this and think that it shouldn't be this way, one of the things I've shared with you before, too, is when someone says, you know, a girl about to graduate from college crosses a street, is hit by a car, and ends up dying, how can God allow that to happen? You know, we could ask them, again, not in the midst of emotion, but we can ask them, well, okay, what if God prevented, what if God said, okay, no more people being killed by cars? That's a horrible thing. We're not going to allow that anymore. What about a child who dies of cancer? How horrible that is. And God says, okay, no more children dying of cancer under the age of 5. Well, what about a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old? That's still horrible. Okay, all right. Nobody under the age of 12. What about teenagers? Okay, all right, no teenagers. What about a mother and a father who's got young kids and died? Okay, nobody is going to die of cancer. Could you imagine if God answered our prayer? All right, no more people dying of cancer. No more plane crashes. No more car crashes. No more violence. No more wars in government. What are we describing? Heaven. There's a word for that. It's called heaven. It's the promised land. Are we there yet? No, we are not. Do we long for it? Yes. Do we see glimpses of it breaking into this world? Yes, we do. And for that, we are thankful. But a lot of this is about expectation. If people say, how can God allow that to happen? Well, this is it. You know, we brought it upon ourselves. Do we really think there'd be a world with no evil, no sin? No, of course not. Until Jesus comes, and then we go to heaven. And by the way, we say to this person, do you want to be in that place? Do you want to be in that? Because let me tell you how you get to that place. See? So actually, we can turn this around. They have this question, well, how can God allow? Well, he's done something about it. But if you want to be a part of it, you better give your life to Jesus Christ. Because that's how it happens. In the meantime, like I said, it's not only for those who are unbelievers, but for us as well. Our faith can be shaken to the core when something really bad or sudden happens to us, or something that happens to us over a prolonged period, and wonder, what is God doing here? What is God doing? What's his purpose? What's his plan? So we're going to talk next week about that part of it, both his permissive will and his directed will, and how it matters. When I hear a story about like Alana, what I ask in my mind, I wonder what Alana's relationship was with God. I wonder what it was with God. You see, it's my belief that God does not want to see us suffer bad things. And I believe God provides an answer for that if we are going to listen to him and pray blessings upon us and putting on things like the armor of God. And so I believe that God will one day do away with all evil. And I believe even in this day, God will guide us and give us these warnings if we will listen. The kingdom of God is upon us. Things are happening. If we listen to God and stay in relationship with God, the best is yet to come. If we do not stay in relationship with God, the worst is yet to come. because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up those like Alana's family and friends who suffer grief and sorrow at things that cannot be explained. And Lord, some of us in our own lives have experienced things that we could not explain, and we simply pray that you continue to keep our faith strong as we put our trust in you. Father, help us to understand your will and your ways, especially that we could give a biblical response to those who ask this question: why do you allow some of the things that you do? So Lord, help us to hear your voice as you speak to us in this question, this topic, this subject. Help us to understand that we may build that building to bring others into the kingdom of God and give glory to your name. All this we pray in He who is glorious, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.